I have a verse for the day, NIV verse for the day, and it says here, Isaiah 26, verse 12, Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. I love that. All that we have accomplished, actually, you've done for us. All those things that we think we've achieved in our lives, you've given us the skills, the abilities, the resources to do those things. And I'm so grateful. I was thinking earlier on and think about what Lily said there about what matters in life. And often I've thought to myself, if I get sacked, which is, you know, that could happen, the way things are going. don't record this bit, by the way. if everything goes, if everything collapses, if I lose all of my money, I've still got you, the church. I've still got my family. I've still got those. I've still got love. And that, at the end of the day, how amazing is that? When Jesus gave up absolutely everything, and he had a lot more to give up than we had, because of love. Because he loved me. He just said, Mike, I just want to be with you. I'm going to give up everything for you. So today we're going to be speaking about giving. So have you got your checkbooks ready and your credit cards, if we use checkbooks anymore? Giving to the church, and this is part of our series on the way of life. And if you're not familiar with that, go back onto our website, have a look at the series. We've been going through various talks and sermons, and we will do for the next 20 years. We'll keep coming back to these because this is something we want to embed into the whole of our life as a church. And it's also about how you embed it into your life as well. Have a listen to Andrew's talk on the way of life, which kind of encapsulates and summarizes a lot of what we're about. Have a look on the website. And last week, Mark spoke about serving, and it was a great talk. Have a listen on the podcast to that. I was listening to that earlier on today. And a lot of what he is saying there, really, I'm just kind of following on from a lot of what he was saying. Then he finished with communion. He finished with that moment when we remember the givingness of Jesus Christ. And that's really where I want to pick it up. And the context for the passage I'm going to read out to you is very short. The first five verses, I could read the whole of chapter 8. All of these talks and these sermons are just tasters. And I've used this word before. Is it souchon or something like that? Like a little soupçon. Yes, right, thank you. Of what there is in the scriptures. So it's just a case of you having a look for yourself. I'm going to time myself so I don't go on for too long. You'll be pleased to know. Okay. So let's have a look at this passage in 2 Corinthians. And the context for the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is that previously in the first chapter, Paul had talked to the people at Corinth of the suffering of the Christians in Jerusalem and the extreme poverty that they were going through. And he was calling for a collection from the Corinthian church. And as so often happens, people had got into the church and said, Paul just wants your money. The church just wants to take from you. And so there was a little bit of an undermining of this message of Paul of giving to the church. And it was almost the motivation that they had placed on Paul was not Paul's motivation at all. And then he went to Macedonia. And the Macedonian church in modern-day Greece, Macedonia is in the north and the kind of the church of the Corinthians is in the south part of it all. And he'd found a people just full of generosity. And so these first five verses, they're just so much in here. We could speak for weeks and weeks on it. So I'm just going to have 20 minutes. And the Macedonian church is the example he uses, the testimony that he uses to model what we mean by giving to the church. And as Mark said last week, we could talk about giving time and giving ministry and giving gifts and giving our skills and so on. And those are very important. But I'm going to be talking about money this week, okay? Giving to the church in terms of money. And so often we don't touch on these things or preach about these things because A, it's a little bit controversial. B, you don't want everybody thinking money grabbing and saying give to the church, give to the church. But C, there's a little bit of confusion about what we kind of think the Bible says about giving to the church. So we might touch on that a little bit. And some people will come to slightly different conclusions. But here, Paul talks, as Mark did last week, that is about not so much what we do. It's not so much about the things we tick. But it's about our heart attitude. It's about our motivation behind all of it. So let's read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then, by the will of God, to us. And the more I've dipped into this passage, I thought, why have I never studied this before? There is just absolutely so much in there. So we're going to go through a word at a time. We want you to know. My heart is this. I've heard that rumors have spread. I want you to know. This is not a command from Paul. You must give 1/10 of all of your wages. And we'll talk about that at some point. But Paul is just saying, my heart is this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God. Full stop, finished sermon. Because when we know about the grace of God, then everything flows from that. Do you remember a while ago we talked about grace is like this cathedral that you stand in. It's vast. There's room enough for everybody. It's strong and it will protect you through every up and down of life. It's beautiful when you look up and see everything points up to God. The grace of God, the God's riches at Christ's expense, when a little bit later on Paul talks about Jesus coming and dying on the cross. He gave up everything, his crowns, his robes, his thrones, his glory, that he would come to earth incarnate as you and me, for you and me, to live a life of poverty. And yes, he was supported, and yes, he had friendships, and yes, he had people that he was with, but he didn't seek after money, he sought after people, because he wanted to bring about the salvation of the world in love. It tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave. And so when we give, the heart of giving isn't because we have to tick a box so that we can be good and say that's what a Christian should do. We do it because we love. We do it because we reflect the heart of God. We reflect the generosity of God. I was reading this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and just the creation story. And you look what God did. He could have stayed in his glory, him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit having a great time there. But they decided to create this world. And he said, let there be light. And he gave us light. And he gave us animals. And he gave us vegetation. And he gave us life. And he said, how good is this? Our God is a giving God. And as you read through this, you see give, give, give. As we hear the testimony of Alan and Lily, they've been given to each other because God gave them to each other. God just gives. It's his nature. And so that when you're giving to somebody, you know, that thing that makes you feel good isn't because you feel proud of yourself. You're actually, you're synchronizing with God himself. You're doing what is kind of natural as a Christian to do, to give to others. And sometimes we want to give more than we've got to give, because I know I'm talking to people who are so generous. I'm not here saying you've got to give more, you've got to give more. Some of you might need to give less. We'll talk about that in a minute or two. But God is just generous and generous. And that is seen by the grace of God. And so here we see Paul saying the Macedonian church has been given to the church, the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And then we see an interesting phrase in verse 2. It says, for in a severe test of affliction, abundance of joy and extreme poverty. What kind of sandwich is that? So you've got not just affliction, you've got severe affliction and you've got extreme poverty, and right in the middle you've got an abundance of joy. Now that wouldn't be me. It would be an abundance of self-pity right in the middle of there. Abundance of misery. It just doesn't seem to match, does it? And again, we've heard this morning, you can go through such difficult circumstances and yet find joy in that. And the people of Macedonia, I would have loved to have met them. But that extreme poverty and that severe affliction caused them to release whatever they had to those who are also in affliction and poverty. Because when you go through times of affliction and poverty, it wells up a compassion in your heart because you know what it feels like. You've been there and you know the tears and you know having to stick your hand down the side of the sofa to get 10p so you can go and find a tin of beans for eating that night. And it inspires you to give, not to hold on. It creates a compassion within you. And sometimes I've met people who are very rich and they can't understand why people are poor. You know, you just need to budget better. Or you just need to do this, or you just need to invest that. And then all of a sudden you get loads of money. But those who have been poor, they understand what it's like to be right down there and not knowing where your next meal is coming from. And we're living in an age, and even within our country, and even in some of the circumstances that we might work in or that we might move in this country and other parts of the world, we know that there are people who don't know where the next meal is coming from or how they're going to clothe their children. And I think for most of us, we're okay, but for some of us sat here right now, we may not be. And we come in and we look okay. But actually, please come and speak to us. If you're struggling in any way, if you don't know where the next meal is coming from, please come and have a chat with us. Or maybe it's not quite that extreme yet, but you need a bit of help. And I've done that myself. I've been to the church and asked for money. I'm going to say that as the leader of the church. Sometimes it's a taboo thing, isn't it? Yeah. And the church has helped me. And individuals in this church have helped me. And from time to time, they've sat down and we've looked at our books together and say, yeah, why not? I would do the same if I was struggling in my prayer life and my mental health, in my physical life. I'd be quite happy to go and speak to somebody and say, can you help me out here? And yet money, I'm going to get judged. I'm going to get told off. People are going to criticize me. Well, listen, guys, I've been there and the church is brilliant. So if you're in that place, speak to anybody that you feel comfortable with and we'll help you out. It's actually part of what we're meant to do as a charity, to share the love of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help, it says the poor, but help anybody in need. That's kind of why we exist. Both, just in, not forget about being a church, as a charity, that's why we exist. And so we see here the Macedonians, and they are expressing out of their compassion a desire to be generous to other people, to help them. But also in the middle of that is this abundance of joy. And I know the reason why I don't give is, and I'm on a journey on this. I'm on a journey myself. But the reason I don't give isn't because I'm not a generous person. Because those of you that know me hopefully know that I'm reasonably generous with my time and things like that. It's fear and it's anxiety, isn't it? You know, the reason that we aren't more generous is sometimes it's like, I might need that. Or there's that kind of like, what might happen if my fuel bills do suddenly go through the roof and the petrol does get even more expensive? And so we cling on. And it's that fear, it's that anxiety, it's that worry that stops us. But when I'm filled with joy and love, somehow I seem to be more generous with, not just with my money, with my time, with my love, with everything else. It's when I'm in that right place. And so we see the Macedonians here who know the grace of God, the love of God, and they are just filled with joy. And it's the joy, as well as the compassion, as well as the grace that motivates them to become generous. And so Paul says here, and so their extreme poverty, they've overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part, for they gave according to their means. That's so important. Because as generous Christians, we want to help the world. We want to be the savior of the world, don't we sometimes? And we know people in our families and our children and those around us in the Ukraine and so on. And it's wonderful that we do that, but sometimes we put ourselves into more debt. Because, and I'll say why that happens in a minute or two, but we kind of do that. And I love the fact that Paul says, according to your means. Don't give more than you can actually give. Don't put yourself into that kind of massive debt. Because at the end of the day, that's not honoring to you or respectful to you or to others. And it says here, as I can testify, you know, the Macedonian church didn't give loads and loads of money to Paul. And it says here, the second part here, I love this, and beyond their means of their own accord. So there are times when God will say, step out in faith and give this. And trust me that I will put food on your table. There are times when God says, just go above and beyond here. There are times when God does say that. In a minute we'll see that's only within the will of God. I love the story of that Jesus, when he was, I think it's in Luke's gospel, and there's the widow. And all these rich people have given loads and loads of money, oodles of money, thousands of pounds or whatever it might be, into the coffers in a very flamboyant way probably. And then she comes along, the widow, and she's got these two coins and she puts them in and Jesus says she's given more than anybody else. Now, if that had been me and I had two coins, because each coin was a day's wages. So if I'd had two coins, how many do you think I would have put in? I'd have put that one in there for you. I'll keep that one because I don't need that one. And she puts in both beyond her means. Jesus saw that. He said, what an act of faith that woman has. She had the choice. It wasn't just one, I've only got one coin, so I've got to give it. She had the choice to keep one back, but she gave both. I absolutely love it. So she gave beyond her means because for her at that time, it was the right thing to do. I know recently we've been given to Ukrainian refugees and other things as well, having a chat with Lisa about the work that Lisa's been doing over in America. And there's so many examples of so many people going beyond their means of expressing generosity. And I like this next bit in verse 4. It says this, that the Macedonians were begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. I love that. God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? Well, not only were they cheerful about doing it, they were begging him, please, oh, we want to give. And maybe Paul was saying, you're too poor, because they were. They were in extreme poverty. Maybe Paul was saying, no, don't you worry about that. I've got the Corinthians to sort us out. And they were saying, no, we want to do this because it does us good, but because we just know that this will empower them. And it's about the furthering of the kingdom of God and the resources of God in order to impact other people. So in OCF, everything that comes in, we don't have anybody that's paid here. We don't own this building. Obviously, we have to pay for the hire of this hall. But everything that comes in is towards helping others in the church that need it. I love that in Acts of the Apostles, where they shared everything in common. And so there was nobody who had less than others and nobody had more than others. They shared everything in common. How good is that? What a picture that is. I don't know if we'll ever get to that point, but that was just an amazing example of what it means that when the resources come into the church then uses that to bless the community. And our heart really is to bless this community and beyond. So we head now towards this most important bit. So first of all, they're desperate, begging to take part in this. And then in verse 5, it says this. And this, not as we expected. I don't really know what that means. I'm assuming Paul was expecting them to act in a certain way. But it says here, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. I love that. How often do we forget to do that? Well, in our way of life, as Andrew said a little while ago, that's the point of the order of our way of life. Prayer, Bible study, worship, silence and solitude, Sabbath, fasting. Let's get ourselves before the Lord. Let's get ourselves into that place where we are in line with Him. Our values are being open and obedient to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we see a need and we want to meet it straight away and we end up suddenly with a list as long as your arm. And sometimes that's right to do it straight, say, you know, straight away, that's the right thing to do. But there are other times when God says, look, I want you to just check it with me first because you've chosen to give this. I want you to give more. Or you want to give to this, but actually I've got something else for you to give to. And so it's so important that we partner with Jesus. We partner with the Holy Spirit in this. So let's have a look at what so many people talk about in terms of giving a tenth or 10% of your income. And for years, that's been a burden on me a little bit. Oh, gosh, I've got to give a 10%. If it's 8% or 5% or 2% or nothing, I've failed as a Christian. And in the teaching team meeting, Andrew made a really good point. And this was it, that really the 10% is a ceiling on what God really wants, which is everything. Everything you have belongs to Him. Everything you have is yours. Everything you earn If God says give a day's wages, you give a day's wages. He says give 2 days' wages, you give 2 days' wages. Absolutely everything. And so we need to come before God and say to God, otherwise we just assume it's always going to be 10%. No, God might say, no, I want you to give more. He might say, I want you to give less for this season of your life. Some of us have got 12 children to feed. I haven't got 12 children, but it feels like 12 children sometimes. 12 children to feed. And some people may be in a season of the life where they can give more. And part of our way of life is talking about the seasons and the rhythms of our lives. And so we're not here as a church, and we never have been, to condemn people and to say, you should be giving this amount of money to the church. Because whatever season you're in, what we are saying is come before God. Come before God. Your homework, my homework, our homework this week, is to come before God and say, Lord God, help me to review my giving. Help me to think now, what is it that you want me to give? And just be open to whatever it is that he says to you. But I love that the Macedonian church did that they came before God. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And then, and this bit's important, by the will of God to us. It's two slightly different givings, isn't there? There's the giving out of a loving, generous heart, which is so beautiful. It's so lovely when you know that somebody's done that. And then there's the giving that God has prompted a person to do. And then you go, wow, even more so. I mean, the first one's a wow as well. And we've experienced that. But when God says to somebody, to me, to you, go and give this, and Tom testified to this, didn't you, a little while ago, go and give this to somebody. There is something amazing about that, because I believe that there's somehow an anointing of blessing, and we have our community blessings work, and we bless the community. There's something anointed about blessing people, something powerful about blessing people when it is the anointing of God. We should be blessing people all the time, but when it's the anointing of God, it just so happens to be the right time to the right person in the right way. And the kingdom of God is advanced because of it. So when we talk about giving to the church, there are several things that I've kind of gone over. So I'm going to recap. And there's more that I could say, but I'm just going to recap what I've said. First of all, we give to the church out of joy, out of the grace that's been poured out to us. We give to the church out of the abundance of joy and everything that he's done for us. We give to the church after first coming to him and saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to give? Is it more? Is it beyond what I think I can give? Or should it be less at this season in my life? And then looking at our extreme poverty that we might be in at the moment, don't consider that to be a barrier to giving. Still come before God as the Macedonians did. Because that creates in us such a compassion for other people. If you do feel, after you've prayed and spent time with God, that you want to give to OCF and so on, have a chat with Chris. She's got all the Deed of Covenant forms and things like that. So you can say that. Or it may be that you want to come and have a chat with somebody or pray with somebody about it all. But there is something powerful and releasing about giving into the work of God, into the work of the kingdom of God. So the reason we placed it within the way of life is because it is an important part of our way of life, but it's also a stronghold for us, isn't it? I remember many years ago, we had a speaker came along and talked about it in terms of being spiritual warfare, and it absolutely is. It is that area where the enemy doesn't want us to touch or go into or talk about or release. But when we do step into that heart, that generous heart of giving, maybe beyond ourselves, out of a trust in him, a faith in him, and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, then something powerful begins to happen and begins to be released. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray, and I would like us to do that homework this week, because it's not just about coming along. And none of these sermons are about coming along and just listening in there. Oh, that was a nice sermon, and you know, 10 out of 10, and then going home and forgetting all about it. But it's about what we do next, isn't it? Every talk you listen to is about what do you do next. You could dismiss it if you like, but pray about it. and think about, what do I do next, Lord? What do I do next? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Macedonian church. I thank you for the people of Macedonia as that eternal example to all of us, not just to the Corinthians, but to us in OCF as well. That out of their severe affliction and extreme poverty and abundance of joy in the midst of that, they overflowed with generosity towards the saints who were suffering in Jerusalem, towards the church. I thank you that the grace that was poured out to them, they continued. They weren't a block for the grace, but they were a conduit through which the grace of God flowed through their giving. And so I pray that we too would be carriers of your grace. I pray that you would speak to us over this coming week and speak to me and all of us about what does giving look like to us? Yes, in terms of service and time, but in particular around money, Lord. We name it and we say, Lord God, the enemy's spoken too long over this, held the purse strings too long, and we want to break in and break through on this, Lord God. We want the name of Jesus to come into our finances right now and to release finances into our personal situations, into our church, Lord. And where there has been debt and where there is debt, Lord God, where there is struggle financially, I want to speak out a blessing onto every single person in this church. I want to pray for a release of blessing, Lord. I thank you that the storehouses of heaven, that the doors are already open. We don't need to pray for them to be opened. They are open already. And you want to and choose to pour out so much blessing, we have no room to contain it. Lord, I thank you that you are an abundant God that wants to pour out abundant wealth, not so that we keep hold of it, but so that we can bless those around us, Lord God, those in addiction, those who are struggling, those who are finding life so difficult, Lord God. We want to release resources into your community, into your kingdom, into your people, Lord God. We want to see those who are low raised up high, Lord God. We want to see those that have kind of thought to themselves, there's no blessing anywhere for me in my life, that we want to bring about your blessing into their lives, Lord Jesus, and see them lifted up in homes and in cars and in jobs, wearing clothes which aren't just hand-me-downs, Lord Jesus. We want to pray, Lord God, that we will be a people that can bless those around us. And so we lift up before you our hearts and your purposes for us in this area of money and of giving, Lord God. Speak to us directly about it this week and show us, reveal to us by the power of your Holy Spirit what you want us to do next. What is our next step of faith in this, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.